This is David Harrison of the Locked On Bucks podcast, reminding you that once you're done listening to this show, please check out the Peacock and Williamson podcast hosted on the Locked On Podcast Network. Monday through Friday, Brian and Matt give you the national perspective all around the NFL. Get opinions and analysis on picks, previews, and much more every weekday from the Peacock and Williamson podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, and welcome back to the Locked On Bucks Podcast. I'm James Yarko, joined as always by David Harrison. You can find everything that we are doing over at BucksNation.com. Make sure you follow along on Twitter at Locked On Bucks, at Jarko underscore Bucks, at DHarrison82. And at Bucks underscore Nation. We'd like to welcome in all of our new and returning listeners. If you're new to the show, please subscribe. Make sure you leave a 5-star review. We really appreciate it, and it does help other Buccaneers fans find us.
Absolutely, it does. Midweek here, James, we're going to talk about what everybody's talking about at this point in the offseason, and that is rankings. It's projection time, it's ranking time, and one of the most popular sites for their projections and their rankings is, of course, Pro Football Focus. So PFF.com putting out some rankings. They've been putting out rankings for a while now, but one of their most recent groups of rankings, James, was the NFL ranking for all 32 NFL running back units ahead of the 2021 NFL season. And I emphasize that for a reason, because it's not the top 32 running backs, it's the units as a whole. And that's going to go into the conversation on whether or not we agree with their ranking for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But starting off first, before we get to where the Bucs are, the top five running back groups in the National Football League, the Cleveland Browns coming in number one with Nick Chubb and with Kareem Hunt there leading the way there. Hard to argue with those two. The Indianapolis Colts, even with Marlon Mack's injury history, a very good running back group there in Indianapolis. The New Orleans Saints, of course, led by Alvin Kamara, and then you've got Latavius Murray backing him up. The Minnesota Vikings with Dalvin Cook. The Dallas Cowboys are fifth with Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard. In my opinion, maybe getting a little too much love as the number two there in Dallas. So, James, we've talked about this a little bit. We've kind of prepped for the show, so you obviously know where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers rank on this list, so let's not play that game. But if you were coming into there, when you came in, when I brought you this idea, I said, let's talk about this. Where did you ballpark the Buccaneers were going to be ranked out of the 32 teams?
Well, given that it was units, you know, running back rooms, I would have said maybe just outside the top 10, maybe squeaking into the back end of the top 10, given Ronald Jones nearly rushed for 1,000 yards and missed some games due to injury, Leonard Fournette's playoff performance, and then Gio Bernard's pass-catching ability coming into the building. I've seen what he can do in Cincinnati. That is a upgrade over Shady McCoy. So I figure at the lowest, probably 13, 14, but they probably could have peaked around 8 or 9.
Yeah, listen, that's kind of where I was thinking. I was like, when I got sent this link, the first thing I thought was, okay, Bucks probably come in around 8 to 12. Like, that's kind of the range I like for. I don't know why, but I like looking at this in groups of four. So 8 to 12 is kind of what I was thinking there. Or 8 to 4. 8 to 12 is kind of what I was thinking there. For the exact same reasons you said. I mean, again, we've said on the show, Ronald Jones at one point was a top five running back in the National Football League. And I get it. There were a lot of injuries to a lot of star running backs and all that stuff, but it is what it is. And in the landscape of the 2020 NFL season, Ronald Jones was one of the better running backs until his season obviously got derailed. And then, yeah, playoff Lenny and Lombardi Lenny, the addition of Giovanni Bernard. And then once I got into reading it, right, I wasn't going to credit the offensive line. I wasn't going to say, you know, this is an offensive line coming back fully intact, and they have a backup guard who now has Super Bowl and playoff experience. So how valuable is that as a backup offensive lineman? I wasn't going to kind of give that credit in there, but for the Indianapolis Colts, they did talk about Quentin Nelson. So if you're going to give the Colts credit for an offensive lineman, then I'm going to give the Buccaneers credit. So, I mean, that even maybe takes them to the 8 to 10 range, kind of what you were talking about, squeaking in there at the back end of the top 10. And I think most of our listeners would probably agree that that range makes a lot of sense. And PFF, coming close to what we were thinking, of course, ranking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 26th out of 32. So do you want to –
That is not close.
Do you want to share PFF's reasoning for why they ranked the Buccaneers running back group as 26th in the NFL?
I will do so. They said, quote, "The Buccaneers have a crowded backfield, but there are still questions about how effective this collection of talent can be in 2021. Several solid performances from Leonard Fournette late last season don't erase years of underwhelming performances as a starter. And while Ronald Jones is their most effective runner with an 84.7 rushing grade in 2020, he's still one of the worst receiving running backs in the league. Tampa Bay running backs also combined for a league-high 15 drops in the 2020 regular season. Giovanni Bernard may fix some of those issues as the receiving back for Tom Brady, but it remains to be seen how the pieces fit together in the backfield. That includes second-year running back Keyshawn Vaughn, who appeared in just over 100 offensive snaps as a rookie." End blurb.
Yeah, so let's talk about effectiveness, right? So Ronald Jones, like we talked about, now granted, for the season, like you said, came in just under 1,000 yards, got it. He only ended up playing in 14 games because of injuries and COVID and all that other stuff. But listen, yards per attempt, Ronald Jones finished the NFL season eighth among NFL running backs and had just two fumbles. Now, that's a little bit less than Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb finished with 5.6 yards per carry and only one fumble, so I got it. But you're basically talking Ronald Jones about is half a yard per carry, and that's a big number. Don't get me wrong. Like, half a yard per carry when you're talking about 192 carries, that's 90-plus yards for the season or whatever. That's not a small gap, but it's not the biggest gap in the world, and they matched each other in fumbles nearly. You know, Nick Chubb had one in 12 games, and Ronald Jones had two in 14 games. So, I mean, if Nick Chubb plays another two games, does he get another one? You could argue that he probably does. And I'm not saying that Rojo is necessarily Nick Chubb level, but I mean, this is kind of the issue that I take with rankings. And again, context is important to all rankings, but if you're not going to forgive Leonard Fournette some of the things that happened, you know, when he was in Jacksonville, why are we forgiving Dalvin Cook, right, who's the lead back on the fourth best running back group on this chart, for his injury history that he's been having? Because if you're ranking the Minnesota Vikings fourth with Dalvin Cook as a starting running back, you're absolutely not taking into account his injury history. I mean, is that a fair assessment?
Absolutely.
So if we're going to forgive Dalvin Cook for his injury history by making him and the Minnesota Vikings running back group fourth, then we absolutely need to take playoff Lenny and Lombardi Lenny into account for this 26 overall ranking. Then again, the addition of Giovanni Bernard. But, you know, we could climb this ladder all day, and honestly, we don't have enough time to do that in this segment. But coming in just ahead of the Buccaneers, 25th was the Detroit Lions. I take the Bucs running back room over them. 24th was the Pittsburgh Steelers. Outside of Najee Harris, they have Benny Snell Jr., Anthony McFarland Jr., and Kalen Ballage. No, get out of here. Najee Harris hasn't even done anything yet. He's a rookie. That's pure projection. 23rd, the Los Angeles Rams. I like Cam Akers, but he's about all they have there that I'm really impressed with. 22nd, the Kansas City Chiefs. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I like him again, but you're talking projection. 21st, the Buffalo Bills. Zach Moss and Devin Singletary look like a pretty decent, but again, you're talking projection, right? And then the Cincinnati Bengals with Joe Mixon and Samaje Perine. Like, again, a lot of people getting a lot of projection credit here from PFF, while the Buccaneers are getting held back from their actual production.
Yeah, I mean, the Bills' best running back is their quarterback. And if Joe Mixon goes down, you know who absolutely nobody is afraid of? Samaje Perine. DeAndre Swift was a huge disappointment in Detroit last year. Pittsburgh's running situation is a mess. I don't know how any of these teams are ranked above the Buccaneers. I have a hard time disagreeing with their top five. But again, going back, I know we got to move on. You put the Indianapolis Colts at number two, you're not taking Marlon Mack's injury history into account there. But again, the Buccaneers are kind of being, as you said, held back. Something that won't hold you back is saving a little bit of money by doing your own car repairs with our friends over at rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, Those prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low. The same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Don't do that. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck and write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
Back now for section two here, the Locked On Bucks podcast. David Harrison and James Yarko on Twitter at dharrison82, at jyarko_bucks. Find the show at Locked On Bucks. And we just went through our disagreements, some agreement, right? We agreed with the top of PFS rankings for running back groups. Obviously disagree with where the Buccaneers are as an individual, and then going through just a handful of the teams that were above the Buccaneers. Also disagree with quite a few of those teams there. But again, rankings are subjective, and I will at least give PFF credit for going through and giving a little blurb on all 32 teams and why they ranked them there, because it allows you to have a little bit of that context, whether you agree with it or you don't agree with it. And we're going to move into another set of rankings that, James, I have a feeling we're going to agree with a little bit of it, and we're going to disagree with a little bit of it, just like we always tend to do. And again, coming from PFF.com, because we're just going to stick right there. They released their NFL top 25 under 25 list, and starting here at the top three, Fred Warner, linebacker from San Francisco 49ers, Josh Allen, the quarterback from the Buffalo Bills, Lamar Jackson, the quarterback from the Baltimore Ravens, coming in number three, and then the first Tampa Bay Buccaneers player on the list, offensive tackle Tristan Wirfs of course, of the Buccaneers, like I just said, and PFF writing, quote, "Rookie offensive linemen typically struggle in year one, but Wirfs was thrown to the wolves and did nothing but thrive. The Iowa product allowed just 24 total pressures across 20 games on his way to a Super Bowl, despite running up against some elite competition. In no game did he surrender more than four total pressures, and he had six perfect games of pass protection," end quote. Mr. Yarko, your reaction to Tristan Wirfs being 10th on this list of top 25 under 25.
When is Wirfs going to get fitted for his gold jacket? Like, is it going to be ring ceremony? Then, hey, Tristan, we're going to go ahead and fit you for your gold jacket now. Or are they going to wait and make sure that it fits him in his post-playing career? Because this guy's an absolute stud. We were talking to Scott Smith on Monday, and you know, he was talking about how good Tristan was, and we were talking about him and Shaq Barrett going up against each other in practice. Every time I hear about Tristan Wirfs, every time I see something about Tristan Wirfs, see a video, see a blurb, anything, it reminds me so much of Quentin Nelson from the Indianapolis Colts, who came in as a rookie and was just an absolute wrecking ball from the jump. There was no learning curve. There was, I'm a football player. I don't care how long you've been in the league. It's my turn now, and I'm going to come out here and I'm going to do what I do. And that's exactly what Tristan Wirfs does. He is an absolute beast, and it's not going to surprise me at all if before his rookie contract is even up, we are talking about how he is one of the top three offensive tackles in the National Football League.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why, you know, it's hard to say, you know, being ranked in the top 10 of NFL players under the age of 25 is any kind of a snub. You know what I mean? And I don't want to get too crazy with too dramatic with it, but there are some things on here, James, that I simply don't agree with. And again, we're kind of talking pre-recording a little bit. I wish PFF would have called these like top 25 under 25 projections for 2021, because that's really what they're doing here, is they're projecting where they think these players are going to go. And for Tristan Wirfs, you kind of almost get the feeling that they think he really can't get any better, because honestly, the slate of pass rushers that he's set to face in this season versus last season really is either equal or maybe even a little bit less impressive than the one he's already handled. So if he comes out and essentially does the same job, it's really going to be, yep, there's Tristan Wirfs being amazing again and all that. So it's kind of hard to say that he's going to rise in the stocks. But then there's a big opportunity, because he did do so well, that he could actually sink a little bit. And doesn't mean he's going to do bad, but I mean, if he goes from having six perfect games to four perfect games, that's still a pretty good season by most accounts, but he went down in perfect games, you know what I mean? So there's a little bit of theory to that. But where I really have a problem with this is at the quarterback position. For one, I think Josh Allen, you know, just from being a quarterback of a team, being a quarterback of a team that wins the AFC Championship game, is expected to be competing for the same thing, that he should be number one, and he's on the upward trajectory. Like, he's just getting better as he goes. I like Fred Warner as the best linebacker under 25. Honestly, I think he's doing really well, and he's only going to continue to do well. And the fact that he was still able to do what he was able to do without a guy like Nick Bosa playing in front of him kind of shows just how talented he is by himself. Lamar Jackson, you know, this is my big hang up here. Look, Lamar Jackson had an amazing season 2 years ago, MVP season, did a lot of amazing things, and I don't want to take that away from him. I think it's great. I thought he got a little too cocky with the whole not bad for a running back when you were running a lot, dude. So, like, let's not get too crazy here. But in 2020, we saw exactly what I kind of warned people against during the offseason conversations, and that is that we've all seen this now. We've all seen MVP Lamar Jackson for a year. You've got to bring a different wrinkle. And in 2020, James, Lamar Jackson didn't bring any new wrinkles. And when the rest of his teammates couldn't pick him up and his defense couldn't keep opposing teams from scoring, Lamar Jackson didn't have the skill set and the tools to carry his team to victory. I think Lamar Jackson should be further down this list because Lamar Jackson is regressing. And honestly, PFF even mentions that they try to say he actually got better, but then they talk about his touchdown percentage going from 7.7% in 2019 to 5.7%, while his turnover-worthy play rate doubled to 3.6%. But then saying, well, he's still a dynamic playmaker, so we're going to keep him up here. Like, again, you're giving a lot of projection. Unless Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens offense brings a new wrinkle to the field this next season, I don't see how they're going to get any better. So I think Lamar Jackson needs to fall down that list. Nick Bosa, you know I'm a Buckeyes guy. Nick Bosa was injured for quite a bit of his rookie season. How is he the number five guy over a rookie in offensive tackle Tristan Wirfs, who not only didn't hit a rookie wall, played every game of his rookie season and helped his team get to the Super Bowl, and again looked nearly flawless. So I think Tristan Wirfs, again, 10 is great, but I still think Tristan Wirfs probably 6 or 7 if I were going through these rankings.
Yeah, and I agree completely on the Lamar front. When you started in on Josh Allen, I thought we were about to fight, but then you said that he should be number one, and I'm like, okay, we're good. As far as the Lamar Jackson thing, yeah, there's one quarterback further down on this list that I would absolutely unquestionably take over Lamar Jackson, and that's Justin Herbert. You could easily make the case that Kyler Murray should be taken over Lamar Jackson, and I would be open to that argument. And then there's another quarterback who isn't listed on here at all that I would take over any other quarterback not named Josh Allen in this 25 under 25, and that's Joe Burrow. Yeah, I understand that the Bengals were hot garbage, but Joe Burrow was having an absolutely outstanding season until he got his leg snapped into 87 different pieces. And there is another Bengal on this list, but it's on the defensive side of the ball, which was even worse than the offense. So I think my big complaint here, and it's to echo a sentiment that you kind of made, is it seems like there's a lot of rankings based on projection, but then at the same time, in the same ranking, there are guys getting dinged for the performance that they had without getting any further projection. So they're kind of like picking and choosing which way they want to rank someone based on if they're going to react off what they did or if they're going to project what they think they'll do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the old adage, your bias is showing, is kind of what comes to mind here. And then, of course, before we get into this final break, we haven't even had time to touch on the fact that Devin White not on this list, Antoine Winfield Jr. not on this list, and again, that safety, you know, as a rookie stepped on the field, looked almost like a veteran from day one. And then Devin White, I mean, I don't know if you get much more of a crucial. Just look at the difference in the defense between that game against the Washington football team and then moving forward against the Saints, Packers, and the Chiefs, and you see the difference that Devin White makes. So those two guys being left off the list. I mean, I don't think PFF wants to just become, you know, pro buccaneer focus.com, so I got it. But those two guys not being on that list definitely could be considered snubs in a conversation. But, James, what's not going to be considered a snub? Well, you know what? You know what is a snub? The fact that Mint Brownie did not win the Built Bar Madness bracket this spring. Instead, it was coconut or coconut almond, one of the coconut flavors. I disagree with that, but there's a lot of people who like those coconut flavors. And those are two, coconut and coconut almond, of the nine delicious flavors that Built Bar has to offer to our listeners and to anybody who wants to consume the best taste protein bar on the market. Plus, they have the occasional limited time flavor. Not only do they have that coconut, coconut almond, mint brownie, but they've also got cherry, raspberry, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel. So there's something for everyone. And if you don't have a favorite flavor, get yourself a mix box, get two of each of the nine flavors, and you're bound to find one that you love. Trust me, you're going to find a flavor that you enjoy. Plus, most of these bars have 17 grams of protein with only 130 calories, just 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 grams of net carbs. Go to BuiltBar.com today, order your box of raspberry, mint brownie, whatever you want, or that mix box so you can get a taste of a little bit of everything. Use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off of that order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
When you're all done with that, make sure that you head over to betonline.ag. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing. You also have the Stanley Cup playoffs down to the Final Four. You can get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including the MLB, NBA, NHL, and all of your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch or the next puck drop, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to and through the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDON. Again, promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Wrapping things up here on a Wednesday edition of the Locked On Bucks podcast. James Yarko, David Harrison. Find us on Twitter at JYarko underscore Bucks at DHarrison82. David, we're going to kick this segment off with a Twitter question from Kendall. And Kendall says, there was a recent article by NBC Sports, I believe, that said Godwin is optimistic about a long-term deal. Is that possible? If so, how? Would Mike Evans take less would Evans take less money type of deal? So I'm going to kick it over to you first to see your reaction, because I do have a few brief thoughts on this, but I want to hear your opinion.
Yes, it's possible. I believe it will happen. And the main reason is because the salary cap is a figment of your imagination. I mean, basically, the way that these guys can orchestrate these contracts, right? And you look at what Jason Light and that entire front office did just this offseason, bringing back all of these guys, that kind of goes to show you right there just what they're capable of. And I'll be honest with you, I feel like either Jason Pierre-Paul or Ndamukong Suh, maybe even both. And I'm not wishing it, but I get the feeling that either JPP or Sue are not going to come back to this team in 2022. Most likely one of them, if not both, due to retirement. Like if the Buccaneers win a Super Bowl again and they win back-to-back titles, I could see both of them retiring and calling it a day. Like, Ndamukong Suh does not need the National Football League. Like, that dude is set, not just because of smart financial decisions, but the dude is incredibly smart. Like, if you are out there and you still have this image of Ndamukong Suh as this big, burly thug that just plays football, you are not paying attention to Ndamukong Suh, and that's fine if you don't want to. But trust me, dive into Ndamukong Suh, the person, a little bit, and you're going to see exactly what I'm talking about. And Jason Pierre-Paul, I mean, you know, he's probably at a point in his life right now where he's contemplating retirement, you know, more often than anybody would want to admit. So I feel like one of those two guys probably not coming back, and they're not going to save cap money on that, but they're going to not have to spend cap money on, so if that makes sense. Use the draft to fill those spots, but again, I mean, they can front load, you know, some Chris Godwin money. They can back load some other money. They can move things in bonuses. The only thing I will tell you with definitively, I'm not going to sit here and break down what a Chris Godwin extension would look like, because, you know, that's just not something that's in my wheelhouse. But the one thing I will tell you is that Mike Evans is not going to take less money for Chris Godwin to play for the Buccaneers, so he's not going to have to.
Yeah, I mean, what I really need you to do, David, is I need you to take the soundbite from Matthew McConaughey from The Wolf of Wall Street when he's talking about money, and I need you to load it into your soundboard, and anytime we talk about the salary cap, just hit that button.
It's all a fugazi. You know what a fugazi is? Well, Fugazi. It's a fake.
Hey, Fugazi, Fugazi. It's a wazi. It's a woozy. It's a fairy dust.
It doesn't exist. It's never landed. It is no matter. It's not on the elemental chart. It's not real.
Right. Yeah, I think a long-term deal does get done with Chris Godwin for a lot of the reasons that you just said. I'm really not going to dive too much deeper into that. The Bucs aren't going to want to let him go. I don't think Chris Godwin wants to go anywhere, especially with Tom Brady still being under contract for another year. Something is going to get done. We may even see kind of a hockey approach, and he's going to get like a bridge deal until the cap really goes up. You might see like a two-year deal. So he has the security of more than just a one-year deal. But it's like, hey, give us this little bridge, and then, you know, the cap's going to shoot up to like $250 million, and son, you're going to get paid. Real quick, David, before we get out of here, there was a tease released on Twitter on Monday of a video which featured Peyton Hillis, where there was a barn shaking, and the door opens, and then there's a larger goat and a smaller goat that walk out, and then it says Madden 22, and then says Thursday it's going to be released. Obviously, the tease is going to be that the Madden cover is Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. Both of them would then be two-time Madden cover athletes. I ran a poll on Bucs Nation asking about the Madden curse, if people believed in it. No was the resounding winner with 54.5%. Maybe that's some wishful thinking. Yes, 21.5%. I did, but it was broken, came in at 18.5%. And then the Madden what came in at 5.5%. Here's my real quick thing before I kick it over to you and we get out of here. Can we stop with the baby goat stuff? Like, I understand Patrick Mahomes is good, okay? But the whole idea of goat is greatest of all time, singular. There's only one. And Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes have eerily similar career trajectories in their first 3 years of starting, like from being eliminated in the same round of the playoffs to winning a Super Bowl to losing to Tom Brady in a Super Bowl, eerily similar pass. So can we ease off the baby goat stuff? Because number one, it's stupid. Number two, it's only been 3 years. Everybody needs to calm down. Stop messing with the actual goat who's been doing it for over two decades.
Yeah, I mean, there's no need to force it. You know what I mean? Every generation of football has its best quarterback and it has its best quarterback rivalries and all this stuff. And I think, you know, trying to manufacture a rivalry out of Mahomes and Brady because they don't play in the same conferences, they don't play in the same division. You're only going to see them play again this year if they meet up again in the Super Bowl. Like, it's not necessary. Like, you have enough quarterbacks out there. You've got, you know, Aaron Rodgers out there. You've got Tom, obviously. You've got, you know, Patrick Mahomes, and you've got Justin Herbert, both in the AFC West. So you have all that. You have Joe Burrow rising. Trevor Lawrence is joining the league. I mean, you've got enough quarterback talent. Like, again, going back through my football watching years, I mean, you know, you go from like guys like Joe Montana and John Elway and Steve Young and Troy Aikman. You know, like, you don't need to manufacture this stuff. It's happening. It's going to come. It's fine. Like, that's kind of what bothered me about the Super Bowl buildup, is everybody wanted to talk about this being, you know, the solidification of the Kansas City Chiefs dynasty, and not for nothing. But even if you win two Super Bowls, you're not a dynasty. You have to win, I would say, probably 3 in 5 years or 4 in a 10-year span to be considered a dynasty, with playoff berths in between all of those Super Bowl championships and AFC championship trips and all that stuff. We don't need to manufacture the next dynasty. Like, we all want the next New England Patriots. I got it. But you don't need to manufacture it, because it's either going to happen or it's not. It's not going to happen in the media. It's not going to happen on the Madden cover. It's going to happen on the field. And if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. So we don't need to manufacture this thing. So, I don't know. Me personally, like, when I saw that, I thought the same. Brady and Mahomes. If it's true, I'm going to roll my eyes. Whatever. I want to see the game. I want to see the product. I want to see if this company actually delivers on their promise to their fans, to their users, to not exploit the cash cow that is, you know, the fantasy aspect of their game, and get back to dedicating some effort and some energy into what they're supposed to be, which is the most advanced simulation football game in the world and in the history of the game. Because and I don't want to get on a rant on this because we're already over time, but the Madden franchise this year, like coming into 2022, the Madden franchise is worse off than it was 10 years ago from being a simulation game. Like, I don't care about the next best rapper being a head coach for my fantasy football team in Madden. And I know that I'm increasingly growing in the minority of it. But if Madden wants to focus on arcade-style games, fine. Let Madden become an arcade-style game. But if that's going to be the case, then the NFL, not that they care, but if the NFL cares at all, tell EA, like, if you want to focus on arcade, focus on arcade. But we're going to reopen negotiations for other titles and other production companies to bring a simulation mode game into the market because you're not living up to the bill. It's not going to happen. But again, that's all I want. I don't care who put Peyton Hillis on the cover for all I care. If the game is garbage, I don't care who the picture is that you're looking at. You know, a pretty trash can is still a trash can.
Yeah, spoiler alert, it's going to be the same game that it was for the last, you know, 6 or 7 years. But people are going to buy it. My son's going to ask for it, and I'm going to have to buy it for him for Christmas or whatever. But it is what it is. With that, David, we are out of here. Now that you're done with this show, get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You can follow David and I and everything that we are doing over at BucksNation.com, on Twitter at Locked On Bucks, at JRGo_Bucks, at DHarrison82, and at Bucks_Nation. Send us your questions, your comments, your reactions to 813-444-5841, or you can send us an email or voice memo over to LockedOnBucksPodcast@gmail.com. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding day. Stay safe, stay healthy, wash your hands, be good to each other. We'll see you Friday, and thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.